You're the one I crave, and my cravings get dangerous. Oh, we're on. Hey, welcome everybody. This is Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
I came from the Madonna concert.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so
you know, you took someone's seat, right?
I do all my research. My girlfriend wants to go. She wants me to go. I don't know why. I'm a fun fucking guy. So I go, and I start looking up all these Madonna songs, and I find one I like. So then
you found one you liked.
Yeah, a new one I like. We all know Holiday and Borderline, but what's something new?
Oh, I see. So from her new collection.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
We call them albums still, I think.
You think so?
And then I look up the track list. What will she most likely play at the concert? Let me look up those songs. And the song I liked matched the playlist.
You're young again.
It's coming up.
Oh, my God.
First of all, I got it right.
No spoilers.
I'm like, this is a good song. And I was right. She starts playing this song, Crave. It's not until halfway through I go, no, that's my song. You're not doing it right.
What do you mean?
They're doing a remix.
Already?
It's totally different.
Because it's a dance version?
You're not doing it right. I'm yelling from my seat.
Oh, of course you are. Did you really yell from your seat?
You can yell there. It was intimate.
Do you feel like there's an age situation here with Madonna? Like, are there? Because Madonna's been around for decades, so there's got to be like people older than us, people younger.
All I know is that for them being all about the audience of a Madonna concert, being about expressing yourself and not having inhibitions and judging people, I should not have worn my "Make America Great Again" cap. That was bad. Choice.
Okay.
And now I know all that. Right. We'll talk all about the concert tomorrow. Will Cope will be on from Narcissistas.
Mm.
And don't ask me why. I just got a feeling he's going to be able to get into it a lot. All right. I'm looking at a tweet from Rex. He writes on Twitter, "I'm listening to Keith and the Girl and I have VIP, but I think I just accepted that I'll never be able to catch up on Keith and the Girl's 3,100 plus episodes."
We have more than that.
And I said, not with that attitude. Well, he said plus. You can have plus for anything.
Okay.
Yeah. He says, rounding every episode to a single hour, it would take 129 days straight listening. So prolific doesn't even begin to touch it. Okay. Let me be clear. We allow breaks. I don't need you going, I have plans in 111 days. You could take breaks. KeithandTheGirl.com/VIP. This coupon code I'm about to tell you ends this month. It allows you to check out our VIP program for free. The code is DAD, D-A-D. But again, it'll end this month. Also, be sure you check out the Keith and the Girl store. KeithandTheGirl.com/store. We have our mystery boxes.
Yep. We're almost out. Just so you know.
I was going to say, do you want to explain the mystery box? It's best we don't.
It is best we don't.
Okay. So forget the mystery box. Okay. If it's in the store, it's in the store. But you'll also see their coaching calls, the Great American Novel, where I talk about my dad before I knew he was going to try to fuck my ex-wife. It's all there, okay? So never let me see you on social media going, I'm bored. What do I do? You think bored? I want you to think Keith and the Girl. All right, thank you.
That's a weird slogan, Keith, I have to say.
Let's sum up some things from last week. Shane Gillis, of course, was the new comedian hired by SNL, Saturday Night Live. And, of course, he was the new comedian immediately fired from SNL. Last week, Shane made his first public appearance doing stand-up. And he said, everybody's been like, you can't say shit and not expect consequences, he said at The Stand, the comedy club here in New York. I'm fine with the consequences. I'm not arguing. Fuck it. But I do want everyone to know that I've been reading every one of my death threats in an Asian accent.
So deep.
Twitter has been fucking nuts. You try to stay off it when the whole fucking country hates you. That's not a fun feeling as a human, especially when you never get to say your side at all.
What? You're talking right now, and Keith right. is reading a newspaper.
Right.
You're going to be quoted.
You have
You're
a like, microphone.
Why do I get quoted, and then I don't get to say anything?
You're on stage. They're sitting there. They're quiet. Hopefully, they get thrown out if they make noise, right? If the club's doing its job.
They paid money, and then for little pretzel nuggets, they paid $15.
And never mind you have the same Twitter as anybody complaining. You have a podcast. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing that got you in trouble. Not even the reputation you had in the comedy community. That this isn't a one-off, that you are homophobic and you are racist. What got you in trouble was from a podcast. That means tomorrow you can explain it on your podcast. And if that explanation doesn't go over, that you don't get to keep your SNL job, you have the next day to release a podcast.
And also, you can keep saying that you got fired because you don't get to say anything while you get to say things, but you really got fired because you're not funny.
It seems it, right? Well, I'm curious.
Why don't quote me something from his podcast that's going to be hilarious. When he can't read his line on SNL and he fucking improvises, they would have gone down in flames.
Sources close to the situation tell Variety that the vetting process for Gillis was, quote, severely lacking, especially because Gillis is, quote, well-known in comedy circles for using the type of language and remarks that ultimately led to the show cutting ties with him.
Which brings us to the same point always, SNL. What background check are you doing? And I'm not even talking about, like, did he murder someone? Hire a murderer. But what background check that he's funny? What was his audition like?
According to a new report, Lorne Michaels cast Gillis in an attempt to appeal to conservative viewers, many of whom have condemned the show for its perceived liberal bias. According to Variety, Michaels is keenly aware that Saturday Night Live's nonstop coverage of the Trump administration has given it a bad rap among conservatives.
But that's what you want or not what you want?
In an attempt to appeal to more viewers, the longtime boss was, quote, actively looking to cast a more conservative comedian who could help, quote, counteract the appearance of a liberal bias. Sources say that as a result of this directive, Gillis's casting process was different from many of his co-stars. Instead of doing character bits or celebrity impressions, Gillis auditioned using a portion of a stand-up routine.
That's fucked up. And I heard his stand-up is much better than the stuff that we've been hearing.
Better also, than just saying racial slurs?
Right. But also, Andrea's writing, and I think this is a good point, if they want to do that, they should have hired Tim Dillon.
Right.
There's a kind of person that exists that rides that line. Like, Tim Dillon says some fucked up conservative shit, but he has a really good sense of humor. He's got the intellect behind it.
You hear the wink behind it.
You hear the wink. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes he's just a fucking shitbird.
All right, he's fired too.
But if they want that side of it, then have that side that is more thought out and more funny and more, you know, what you're saying SNL is supposed to be.
I saw this on Twitter. This is Taylor Ortega, and she's, you know, obviously making a joke, but she's pointing out the people that say thank you instead of I'm sorry when they get in trouble. Oh, yeah.
So I just wanted to say thank you for letting me know that what I said was ignorant and offensive. And I want to thank everyone for giving me the opportunity to learn and grow. And to the people who I offended, I'm so thank you. Thank you.
I love that. What a blessing today was. Speaking of getting fired, we talked about how Antonio Brown, who left Pittsburgh, ultimately joined the Patriots, was accused of rape by a trainer. He was let go. The New England Patriots.
That had to have been hard, right? He's a really good player.
Yeah, but yeah, you when you're trouble on top of rape, when you give owners aggravation and there's a rape, you can't do it all at once.
You have to be a team player.
Yes.
And then you could rape women.
The New England Patriots are releasing Antonio Brown. This is on social media. It's funny how the world works now. We appreciate the hard work of many people over the past 11 days.
We appreciate.
Is that a dig? It's been a crazy 11 days with Antonio Brown. We made him a shirt and everything. But we feel that it is best to move in a different direction at this time.
What direction is that?
You're not here direction.
What direction is football? What? You don't have any other direction.
The stadium's to the north, so you go any other direction. Right. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft was enraged when he learned of threatening messages Antonio Brown sent to one of the women accusing him of sexual harassment. Right. Robert Kraft is like, let me tell you something. I was involved in a fucking sex trafficking ring. I shut my mouth. Nobody knew nothing. This Antonio Brown guy keep typing to people. Robert Kraft's like, look at me. Nothing. I was on video.
Is that true?
This underage chick is playing with my pud. You never seen the video. I didn't write her a letter. I just left. Shh. We're rich, baby. We're rich. Antonio Brown, every time you send something out on social media, it's a picture of you sitting on a fake pile of money. We're rich. You gotta go.
You really should coach like cis straight white male.
Yeah.
Like every coaching session would be like, you fucked up.
Right.
Now, shh.
Yeah. Hey, guys, any questions? And if you raise your hand, you're fired because that implies you're going to talk. Quiet. No. You're right. You make the money symbol. Instead of the finger to your lips, you go. You let your fingers do the show the scratch. Okay, but at first it was consensual. Good boys. Good
it's
boys.
It's so funny. It's like, okay, guys, ready to get away with rape and murder?
Mm-hmm.
Yes! Yes, coach, yes! Okay, I have a surefire way to do that. We love murder and rape! Yes, we'll do anything! Anything! Okay, well, most of you already did murder and rape, so this is just kind of like the next step. Next step, murder, rape! No. Shh, shh, shh. Okay, in this next step, you don't do anything. You don't talk. Delete Twitter. No! Must murder, rape out loud!
R-A-P-E! Give me shh on murder. Let's go out and murder!
What if they're just cheerleaders? Okay, the real world says that they count too. No way!
Brown's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, tweeted, "It's unfortunate things didn't work out with the Patriots." Yeah, and more unfortunate for that trainer's vagina. "It's unfortunate things didn't work out for the Patriots, but Antonio is healthy and is looking forward to his next opportunity in the NFL.
This is what we care about?
Meanwhile,
his waiting for his new opportunity?
I hope he'll be okay. Kaepernick's like, I'm right here.
Murder and rape!
Meanwhile, Brown spent Saturday night glued to Twitter, responding to ex-Bronco and TV football analyst Shannon Sharpe's tweet, calling him conceited, by quickly retweeting a post about Sharpe's history of harassment accusations. Brown then quickly deleted the tweet, because he didn't understand the shh-shh-shh rule. Oh, you mean even words? Shh-shh-shh?
What about retweets? Does that mean I'm talking or just kind of like...
Did you ever see that defense from people? It was a retweet! What did I do? You're a liability, more than the regular liabilities that are already definitely legitimately on the field. Mm-hmm. They're still figuring you out and you're a liability.
It's like how you say, who's the one... Guns N' Roses, that one of them was kicked off the bus in the middle of the tour because...
The drummer did too much drugs in Guns N' Roses.
It's like, okay, we party, but you're out of control.
Yeah.
And they're doing it as they're kicking him out, they're doing lines. They're like, right. This is a normal amount of cocaine.
Right.
So his coaches are like, look at these guys. Normal amount of rape and murder.
Right.
Normal amounts. You get hit in the head, you get one rape, two murders, right? Or was it two rapes, one murder? We'll look at the playbook. But after that, you shushed.
Right.
They should give them a playbook.
An anonymous massage therapist who accused Kevin Spacey of sexual assault has died. The individual alleged that Spacey made inappropriate sexual advances during a 2018 massage session in his Malibu home. This guy is a regular Frank Underwood. Keep an eye on what's going on.
What did that guy die of?
I don't know, but I don't want to get involved. He accused it. Now he's dead.
Mm.
I don't know nothing. Oh, what story? I didn't read nothing. If it's Kevin Spacey or Frank Underwood, it's bad news. ZipRecruiter is who you need to find out who to hire. Don't find yourself in trouble because you didn't look up the right research. ZipRecruiter does the research for you. Hiring could be a slow process. I'll tell you a little story. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskovitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applications. He goes to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
That's huge. I mean, the only time I worked in an office was at my brother's office for like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And we were hiring receptionists at some point. And I didn't know. I was like, oh, receptionist, that's going to be pretty easy. You know, it's like you just have to kind of be a nice person and follow directions. I didn't know how hard it was. It took weeks because what happens is for certain jobs, like a receptionist, people are like, yeah, I get a reception. But it's the first face and first voice that everybody calling your company and everybody coming in is going to see. It was ridiculous going through this. We had to make up tests for them to take to be right. Like, are you going to pick up the phone and be like a Keith Malley?
Right.
You know?
Pick up the phone, please. Let me know how you do it.
Yeah.
Shit. I lied. I haven't picked up phones in New York before. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/KATG. That's ZipRecruiter.com/KATG. One more time. ZipRecruiter.com/KATG. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Now, let's get to the big news. Henda, I saw. Hello. On social media, I won my first tournament, hashtag Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm. We went to the big time.
Right. Now, how do we make sure through social media that we're on every single poker spam site for the rest of our lives? We hashtag Atlantic City. We generically thank nobody, and now we get on every list. So, Henda, you go to Atlantic City, two nights, right?
Two nights, you like lovers.
You and the boyfriend. If you recall, our audience, she had her sex whore shot the other day. God. Right? Make sure you don't have a baby so you can just suck and fuck all night. So you're doing that. I don't need that detail necessarily.
No, because you keep bringing it up.
I don't need it. But what do you do the first day?
What did we? The first day, not really much.
Okay, sucking and fucking. So day two comes around.
Well, we were going to... Okay, so usually I go to the poker games where you just sit and you can get up whenever you want. So I play for a couple hours. I have won like, you know, about $200, and then I literally run away. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just like, I'm rich. Someone's going to follow me with all this cash. Right. And I run to the hotel room. And this time, Xerxes was like, why don't we play a tournament? Which makes me so nervous because I could stay pretty relaxed at a poker game. But after a while, I'm like, why am I not playing? Right. I don't have any cards. And then I'm just like, all in. Fuck everyone. Fuck you. Fuck me. I want out. You know, I get like all this like boredom sets in. Like, why are we still playing poker? It's right. The same fucking game. But I decided to do it. I don't know. So we stayed at Harrah's. And this tournament at their sister location, which there are like little buses to go to, it was $60 and 47 people entered. So you're talking about five tables and the top five gets money. What do you call that? They hated me because of stuff like
this. I'm folding. I fold. All right. So you're in a tournament. You put in $60. Mm-hmm. There's 47 people.
Yeah.
How far do you get?
We both got to the final table.
You and Xerxes.
Yep.
Okay. How many tables were there about? Do you know?
Five tables.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're both amateurs. And we sat down. And it's just like you've seen Rounders, the movie.
Sure.
And we sit down. Everybody knows each other's names. How you doing? Why are you late? Oh, you know, I'm from, like, you know, I had to drive right. in. Like, oh, did you get the so-and-so?
Does that make you nervous? Like, do they work together?
They hate each other.
Okay.
They're never going to work together. They don't even work for themselves. They're so good at the game that they become bad. So me and Xerxes don't know what we're talking about. We're put on different tables, which we kind of knew would happen. And as soon as they smell that you don't know what you're talking about, they start helping you. And I'm like, dude, you're against me.
Right.
And then
But they're legitimately helping you. So it's more fun to mansplain something than it is to win money.
Yeah, they're know-it-alls. They're just like, they like counting the chips for you. You know, he and I, we legit count it like this is 1,000 and then 2,000. Right. And they just start grabbing at our chips. Like, this is a pile of five. This is what you're putting in. Like, stop counting like an idiot.
Are you taking long?
Well, you know, it happens so fast in these things. Like, literally a round is 1 minute a lot of times. And so when we first started, I was like, every time it came around to me, I'm like, I don't know where we are. So I would say things like that to the dealer. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Okay. And so she says, you know, you could put 200, you can check, you can bet, whatever. And I had both of us had no problem going like, we're lost. This is very fast, you know, and then we got the rhythm of it and it's fine. But I'm still not as fast as these guys. I'm still like, you know, they could match each other's coins. Like across from the table, somebody puts in like a pile of 10 chips. They know that's 10 chips. They grab with their hands without counting. They grab 10 chips, just picking it up and putting it in. So when I go slow, by the time the end of it came, everyone was done with me. And so the main person, the dealer, was like, don't count. Give me your chips.
Oh, even the dealer.
Yeah. The dealer wasn't having it either.
Wow.
But it's so fast. It's not like I'm that slow. You've seen me play, right? Like I'm usually like telling people what's happening next, but they're so fast. In fact, the dealer can't fuck up for a second. So she put $1,000 on the side because there's a side bet or whatever. And then she hesitated and they're like, it's right. And everyone starts right. It's right. It's right. Leave it alone. It's right. And she goes to it and they're like, it's right. She moves it back. Some other dude from the table takes it, puts it back there and goes, it's right. That's it. Touching the fucking dealer's chips.
Well, it looks, it sounds violent.
I don't know. They're doing it so well. So there was this guy sitting next to Xerxes that was helping him pretty much the whole time. He's going like, you know, you probably should, you know, go ahead. Right. Like if you're, you know, giving him little pointers. And I know you're not supposed to be doing that. And he's like helping him count money and all this shit. And it's not like we said we needed it. I had headphones on. I don't want to really talk to anybody. Turns out that guy next to him, I ended up next to him at the final table and I knocked him out with two rounds.
All right.
It was so bad. And then I'm thinking.
It was so bad?
Yeah, it was really bad because he's at the final table. He's this close to making it. He's been helping my boyfriend this whole time and I knock him out and he was.
You weren't nice with loyalty?
But it's like, you can see like, especially at the final table when people lost, they just get up and leave. They don't say anything. They're just like really angry. They just get up and leave. So at that point, he's been helping like Xerxes and he tells me like, oh, your boyfriend did well, blah, blah, blah. And now I knock him out and he's just mad.
Okay.
There was a time like, so when we first started, you know, everyone sees that I'm an amateur. So they just kind of dismiss me. And then after like an hour or two of playing, they start warning new players who sit at the table. Like, she's quiet, but watch out for her.
Oh, yeah?
I'm like, still have my headphones on.
Right.
Okay, I don't know what to tell you guys.
Are you really listening to music?
I am. I'm low. Sarah McLachlan.
Okay.
Just because I'm just like,
in I the
just.
Arms up. All in.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I, we both did this. We both, you know that you won because based on the cards, and even though we know we won, we know we lost, we flipped over the cards to show the dealer so that they can tell us if we won or lost. Because there was a couple times where we're like, I guess we lost. And it's like, no, you have the straight idiot. So you're not supposed to show your cards if you lose, but we're like, just in case, I don't know.
You guys sound insufferable.
I don't think so. I think that's what the dealer is there for. We're not going super slow, but they have no patience. It's like playing with mathematicians. So yes, you're able to add this up, but by the time the end comes, I'm like, I don't know how to add this up anymore. Everything's like going nuts and so fast.
So then it gets to the final four people, and that's when people decide to make deals?
Well, yeah, the final four get paid. Well, actually, when it got to the final seven, final five pay, it got to the final seven, and people go, do you want to do something called something like bubble trouble or bubble double.
This is something I made up when I played card games with my siblings. Okay, you're about to win everything.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to? And I don't see how you're going to lose the way things are going. Play bubble trouble.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know, but whatever everyone says I'm going to do. Like, what am I going to say? No, not this round. So all seven people at that table
are playing bubble trouble.
Yeah. So basically, you all put in $20, like an additional from your pocket. So you have $140, right? And
I'm going to regret this. Why? What do you mean you have $140?
So there's seven people left, right?
Okay. At the table. Okay. So $20 each is $140.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's seven people left, but only five people are going to pay out. So the next two that are knocked out are going to be such a pain in the ass. It's been 6 hours of playing. You were this close to getting paid out, right?
When do you get paid if you're in the top five?
Top five.
Okay.
So now these last two, no one's going to bet. Everyone's being more conservative because no one wants to get knocked out.
Okay.
So everyone puts in $20. The next two people to lose get $70 each so that you're not worried about getting knocked out.
Okay.
So that the game flows better. Okay. And then you're all like at ease. We definitely won. We got back our money, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
The casino does something very weird.
They do toil and trouble.
It's a $60 buy-in And so 47 people are in, and then they, you know, top five play. So like the top one gets something like 800, 900. The second one gets something like 500 and so on. But people are rebuying. And that doesn't go towards the end. The hotel just keeps it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It doesn't up your win. So all these people rebuying are just extending the game longer by hours. Right. And you're not making more money by knocking them out again.
Oh, that seems weird.
It does seem weird, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little scam.
Yeah. 6 hours, all these guys are playing. There was one guy who was like, I've been playing since 2 days ago. You know?
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How'd you go so fast?
No. I mean, he just plays game after game after game. He just plays for, they play all the time. We asked them how often they come. They're like, I go, oh, you come once a week? They're like, more than once a week. They live in New York. This is New Jersey. Right. So I'm like, what are you getting out of this? I just play.
Wait. You didn't say that, did
no,
you?
No, of course okay. not. No. No.
What are you getting? Do you have other happiness?
Well, I mean, what are they getting? I just played for 6 hours. Granted, I won $400. That's right. Pretty good.
Because you all decided.
Yeah, at the last four, we just kept, you know, it again, people start playing tight again, and now you know you could be playing for another
Who brings it up?
This one guy who was at my table the whole time was like, guys, let's make a deal. And one guy was the chip leader. He goes, you're going to make the most money. You'll get, instead of $900, you'll get $700. And we all get like $300 or $400, okay. Whatever that breaks down to. If you get fourth place, you would have won $200 or $300. I don't know. But it works out that everybody's for sure going to win. But the top guy will get a little bit more than the other three because he was the chip leader. And man, what a salesperson. And the dealer's not having it. The dealer hates it. And everyone's stalling because we want to see if we're gonna take this
deal.
What
does the dealer care?
I don't know. I guess you're not allowed to do that. They're like, bet now. They just kept going, bet now. I'm like, I know I have a minute to think, so shut the fuck up.
Right.
But so the guy's like, all right, look, you know, we're yeah.
This is a movie.
Yeah. Why don't we just do a deal? Here's the breakdown. Everyone does super quick math, you know, and they're like, that's a good deal, bro. That's a good deal. You should take that thing. That's a good deal. Like, you can walk away with nothing. She's going to knock you out. Like, they're just bam, 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 bam in your face. Take the deal. Take the deal. Take the deal. No one's asking me if I'm cool with it because they're all like, she's going to fucking be cool with it. She's the newbie.
Right.
She's not going to be the one arguing with us. And I wanted them to be wrong, but they were so right.
I'm like,
make this end. Give me my money. I don't give a shit. I don't have an ego about this. So,
well, once you're willing to play Dragon Bubbles. I think they knew to take over.
They didn't even look at me for that one. They're like, just give us your 20. You're in.
Right.
So the chip leader was not having it. Then we, as they're
what
trying.
What do you mean? He wasn't into this.
He wasn't into it because he has a good chance of winning.
Okay.
You know, so if he takes this deal, he would have lost $200 off his like main winning.
Okay.
But also I can, you know, one of us can just take all his chips and he can be gone.
But spoiler, he did.
Well, after a lot of convincing, so for three rounds, they're like, come on, you want to do it, you want to do it. And what happened in the three rounds, the chips changed already. So the original, you know, idea, all of a sudden I had more chips and they're like, well, she's not going to do it now, you know, because now she has more chips. I'm like, I will do whatever you guys decide, make this end. I don't care.
Right.
Because I know that all the chips that you guys just saw me get, I could lose in this next round. I don't give a shit. Do you know that this is a game of chance? How else am I here?
So when you guys did make your deal.
Yeah.
So you don't finish the game, right?
We were like 2 minutes from a break, and then they started actually stalling. They're like, you know what? Because the dealer kept pushing, go faster, go faster. And so one of the players was like, you know what? How long do I have to think? Like, there's a legit time. Right. She goes, you have 60 seconds. And he's like, well, I'm going to think for 60 seconds now.
We'll see if my partner thinks.
Exactly. So then she gave up. She's like, okay, this round is done.
Okay.
Then we have 10 minutes for break. Every hour or so, you have, and it's on the clock. You have a board that tells you everything. Right. You have exactly 10 minutes to go pee and smoke.
Okay.
Ugh. So during the break, they were like, doing math again, calculators out this time. And they're like, if we give you 420, you know.
And us, you love that.
I know.
You hear 420,
please,
you're
420.
Like, I think that just means they give you a little weed. They give you a little nugget and they go, here, weirdo.
They're like, we broke it down. three of the bottom places can get $420 each, and this dude can get $600, something like that, right? And I'm like, I'm in, whatever. They're like, okay, we're going to go convince him. I'm like, great, I'm going to go pee and keep smoking weed. So, and this is funny. I wonder if they were, because we were in the smoking section for every break, we smoked a spliff.
Right.
So pretty much every hour we're smoking weed, and no one commented about it. Like, how are you even
here?
Yeah. Right. And so by the time I come back, they're like, he's not willing to take $420. Will you take $407? I'm like, yeah, what are we talking about? No, let me argue for another $13. I'm like, it's done. It's over. And then they're done with the game.
So were you in the lead at the time also?
No, because then they would have given me the lead money. That guy was still in the lead. Okay. I was more in the lead than when we first said it. So originally I was going to make $300. And then in that three
Do
rounds,
any of these numbers make sense to you?
Do they not make sense to you? Yeah,
they're
they
fine,
did.
Fast.
Yeah. See, it's fast, right? And this is the slow version. They're right. Doing this math on the fly. It's really amazing.
What was more exciting, that win or when you won what I see here, you won your first buffet?
Exciting.
So gluttonous.
So gross. I almost threw up.
I'm just looking at the desserts. It really is one of each. Holy cow.
That's not even all of it.
Did people start coming to your table thinking your table was the buffet?
Well, we hacked the system.
Right. No, you definitely hacked the system.
We went in and we got our first plate of regular food. You know, First of all, you have to do a lap. You got to see what you're working with. Then you get your plate and start filling up. I like to take one of everything, one onion ring, maybe three French fries. Like, I'm a real asshole about the whole thing, right? Maybe one egg, whatever it is.
That's all.
Yeah. And then you go for your second round of the winners of the first round.
Right.
You get two of those.
Yes. And then does the food start making deals with each other?
But what we want to do is in between the first plate and the second plate, we want to smoke to make more room.
Sure. But what an adventure, right?
But we're not allowed. You're not allowed to get out of the buffet, obviously, because then you're just going to play and come back, eat, whatever.
Right.
But where are your bathrooms? They're not in the buffet area. So we have to step outside of the buffet if we're going to go to the bathroom.
And now it looks like you're in Kong. You got bowel issues.
Well, surprise. No one's paying attention to how long it's taking you to pee or shit. Nobody cares in these casinos at all. Also, look around any room, slots, tables, whatever you want. Not one person smiling, laughing, looking like they're having fun. It just looks like death in there. You're supposed to go for like 24, 48, maybe a little longer hours, 72 hours at most. And then you're supposed to run away from that fucking place. It was so weird. The first night, we had this hotel room. And then I'm like, why are we not getting a smoking room? They obviously have all this ventilation figured out. You're allowed to smoke indoors here. I bet the room will smell fine. We will go and switch the room. We come downstairs. We're like, hey, how about a smoking room for us? They go, okay, that'll be $40 for the room switch. And Xerxes looks the woman straight in the face and goes, we don't want to do that.
Yeah, some things you don't want to do.
So she goes, okay, couple keystrokes. We're not doing it.
Yeah, they're billionaires. Who cares?
They really don't care. Yeah. But they do like annoying shit like, The room costs $35 until you pay the resort fees, and then it's $100. And you're like, what?
Is that their taxes and what?
Yeah, taxes, resort fees.
It's a convenience charge, but you get a door key.
Exactly, yeah. And then it's like they obviously don't want you outdoors, even in the boardwalk. They're just like constant entrances to casinos and things. So where we were was a little away from the boardwalk. We tried walking. We were in the middle of a field. We're walking in the fucking highway all of a sudden. And this is like the walkway. This is Google telling you where to go. There was so much walking because the resorts are so big when you're trying to like not drive from here and again. In one day, we walked 10 miles. We didn't even go anywhere. We had to go from like one side to the other a couple of times. Right. It's bananas out there. Then they have these like, you know, little trolleys.
You think this is what they mean when they say Atlantic City's crazy? It's like, it is. I had to walk 10 miles.
Nobody's walking 10 miles.
Nobody's walking, right?
No, okay. Just us. No, right. They had us flagged. We were a bunch of weirdos walking in very strange places because we just landed there. We hacked another system. Everywhere you turn,
What's the first hacking system? The buffet?
Yes.
Okay, so what else did you hack?
So everything there is like a buffet or a big dinner, or like, you know, you're always spending like $30 per person per meal for like no reason almost, because you're stuck in this place. Domino's still delivers.
What a hack. What a hack. What an asshole hack. Then we were on the toilet for 48 hours. I won the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Domino's.
Well, we got an extra buffet because I won the tournament. The next morning, we went to a breakfast buffet. Another thing that you should know is breakfast and lunch get served at the same time. We thought the buffet was done at 2. No, you're just switching over into lunch.
Do you think you just figured out the Matrix?
It's so fun. We're so satisfied with ourselves.
Between the two of us, aren't you the one that goes out? Like, as is?
These are buffets.
Yeah, yeah.
They're very special.
I know.
There's ice cream at the end.
Did you get ice cream, right?
We did.
Different kinds. Different. You can have. Yeah, yeah. But don't get the same kind if you're coming back to the same table, right? He has to get a different kind. We can go back for seconds. It's part of the hack. Well, good for you guys. You won a game, 20, 40, 36, and 12 is 19. So you won that. Xerxes made it to the last table but didn't get monies. You got monies and got cardboard pizza, and you walked a lot.
I think you got it.
Yeah.
They kept giving me updates on Xerxes because they found out we're together. Right. Oh, he's not doing well. He's low on chips now. I'm like, okay. I don't know what to do.
Should I join him and play worse?
And then he got to the final table. You know, he's doing pretty well. Like, final table. That's a big deal.
Were guys creeps during the tournament?
No, not like sexual creeps. They all seemed sad, you know?
Right.
Just like there's a desperation, of course, in a casino, and they're regulars. It just doesn't feel good. The one guy had the same jokes, so every time the fucking dealer changed, he told the goddamn joke again. Holy shit.
Do you remember it?
They look like aces upside down. Something like that. You know what I mean? When they're facing bottom, they felt like aces. I don't
know. Sure.
And sometimes people would talk to me because they're sitting right next to me, and I half heard, it's like also loud in the space, and I half heard them, and I'm wearing headphones, but you insist on talking
right.
to me. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't hear anything this guy said. I kind of heard like something like, well, she used to have a lot of chips and I'm like, oh yeah, I don't need to hear this. I just keep nodding.
Right.
Fascinating.
All right.
Why are we talking?
But nobody tried to give you the number out of 47 people?
No.
Okay.
Well, they knew I was at Xerxes also.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seemed like degenerates that wouldn't mind.
No, they're not there for that. I don't think they hit on people. They're not. That didn't really happen. Oh, I did notice that every single black person that we passed in the casino said hello to Xerxes.
Oh.
Every single person. They had a strong nod or a genuine, how you doing?
Are there not a lot of black people? Is it like, hey, look at us?
No. He described it as like Atlantic City is black people celebrating their birthdays and a bunch of degenerate gamblers.
Huh. All right.
Yeah, they all, it was very cute. A lot of them had like, you know, birthday crew, and everyone's wearing the same birthday crew shirt.
So everybody's just, it sounds like everybody's suicidal, so they're not bothering hitting on women.
The regulars are not there to hit on anybody. Yeah.
I saw a picture of online, Rihanna. She's face down in her bed. She's showing off her ass. And then Chris Brown, who beat the shit out of her some time ago, sends an emoji. The eyes open real wide emoji. Then right after it, the smirk emoji. There's a lamp next to Rihanna in the bed, and he wrote, I want to be the lamp.
Wow.
Smirk fit. Like, that makes any sense? She's not humping the lamp. It's just laying there on the bed.
Did she respond to it?
No. But what are you doing? You're just so horned up. Let me try now. Demi Moore has revealed in a new memoir that she and ex-husband Ashton Kutcher had two threesomes during their marriage, and that he then used the encounters to explain away his later cheating on her.
Mm.
So he's like, no, remember we did the three ways, mm-hmm. honey? Like, yeah, that's different. It's coming to me now. So the three ways were like, we agreed on them mm-hmm. and you were there. And then afterwards we even talked about it more is what you're saying. And you're saying that when I cheated later, you didn't know about this woman. It was just me. And I not only didn't tell you about her, I made up what I was doing during that time. Is that what you're saying the difference is? I guess I can see it. I guess so.
I feel like this was my last relationship.
Yeah?
Yeah. There was always confusion. Like this one time he texted his friend, like, I bet you looked hot in that uniform, because she was talking about some soccer game that she was in. I'm like, who talks to their friend like right. that? And he's like, I could see where I went out of line. I have such trouble knowing the line and the right. difference and the blah, blah, blah. And you know, you start feeling petty. You're just like, I don't know. I ask, and I just recently talked about
this. Because you don't like soccer? You find it boring? No, it can't be that. Let me think. Okay, because it came off, I said sexually somebody looked right. good. I guess I can see it.
Right. Well, I recently spoke about
it. Well, I would like to say thank you.
Spoke about it on Happily Never After. It's Mara Marek's show. And it just, you know, when you say it out loud, it feels so stupid.
Right.
But it's just like you don't know what, like the line gets blurred by this person. And it's just like, I guess I could see how you were confused. And then you start arguing with that person, like, how are you confused? Yeah, I should get better. Oh, okay, but this is happening
right
now.
Stop. I'm more mad at me.
Yeah.
Than anything you can do right
honestly,
now.
Like, this sounds so stupid to you, and it should, but you're just in it, and you're like, do I break up with you because you said someone looked hot? You know, when I'm in the room, I start comparing stupid comparisons because my brain is trying to make sense of it. And I'm like, you know, there's been guys in my studio where I'm just like, show me your dick. You right. know what I mean? And we're all, but I feel like it's safe because you're here and we're joking and that's the context. But I'm like, could it be like that? You know, why am I asking some dude to show me his dick? Like that kind of thing.
That's funny.
But you see the correlation that I'm trying to.
Yeah, and it's dumb.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But this is, but you're married. You're with this person for such a long time. Do you break up over a text where the rest of the conversation is fine? And this woman didn't even react to that. Like, and I'm like, you're making this woman feel uncomfortable since she didn't react. That means like, I'm trying to ignore you so we could be friends. Possibly best case scenario. You know what I mean? For her or you, or for me, actually, best case scenario. So do you break up with someone?
Not one text.
But you know what I mean? And then that's explained away. And then also with that text, you develop the, I don't know the difference disease, you right. know? So now—
Well, that's when the breakup is.
Yeah.
It's well, not it's the like, text. It's the second or third time that you didn't see the difference.
Yeah.
But coincidentally, you also happen to make up things I'm doing. Right? Yeah. These because they think you are doing it because they know they are doing it. So yeah. how come these people can put that shit on you, but they didn't even see it coming when it came to their actions?
Oh,
of course.
Cause it's such lying. A big deal. But that's yeah. the thing is I was pretty on top of that. I thought, you know, you couldn't really accuse me of doing anything because I'm like, you know exactly where I am. Mm-hmm. I'm usually on mic when I'm doing it. You know, I report to you when someone hits on me, especially if it's weird and it's going to make our interactions uncomfortable or whatever. So instead, what I got accused of is I don't know that these people are mistaking my friendliness so it's their fault, but I'm still in the act of confusing people. So it starts making me on high alert. Am I talking to guys weird? Am I talking to women right. weird? Am I talking on my podcast weird? And it's just this level of control that like you don't see coming.
And Demi's like, dude, I really had to sit you down and explain the difference.
Exactly.
It's like, you know what? That's what therapy's teaching us, right?
Yes.
We can't assume things. We have to explain. Now I know.
Exactly.
Don't fuck people behind your back that I have under my phone under a totally different contact name than their real name. I have that they are a janitor, but they aren't really. Their name is Janet. And I see why that could also add to problems. Now I know.
Do you know how many people are listening to this going, like just bowing their head and going, I'm an idiot?
Right.
Because this, what you just said in like such ease and it just flowed out of your face, they say exactly that same thing, but with distrust, like, I don't deserve you. You know, I can't even tell the difference. Like I right. fucked up and, you know, I shouldn't have compared it. And they, you know, they bring their rehab into it, you know, right. like this is a thing that I've always struggled with, and you've been so good to me.
So the three-way, we not only keep in touch with these people, sometimes we give them Christmas cards. And the woman that I was in the National Choir with, I actually deleted all her phone messages from my phone. Is that what you mean? Like, if that's what you mean, I can get on board with that.
Yep.
It's all about communication. We knew things would come up, didn't we?
Yep.
Deep down.
That same person that conversation happened with, I once looked into his phone and looked up the woman's name and it wasn't there. And I was like, oh, So I just looked up the word sex.
I'll like on the phone?
Yeah. Because I'm smarter than you, I guess. Maybe not. For 9 years, you were smarter, and then I got wise.
Okay. So you're saying, So I was with this woman when I said I was working on a film. That time went by, and that film never came out. And we don't have dailies of any kind.
I actually did that math recently. Was there a film every time he was out of town?
Right.
And I think there was. But then I started going, like, I'm not going to keep thinking about this. That takes up my time. If there was and wasn't, I don't give a shit anymore. But I was like, oh, right. How would I fucking know?
You can also, it's always, now that we're adults, it does seem kind of easy when you catch people. It's like, well, check. You'll see that they were doing a film in that area. Mm-hmm. You know, like, well, that wouldn't be a normal thing to say. You would just be hurt and shocked. Would you be angry? But you wouldn't go, no, check if there's a film in the, you know what I mean? Check if there's a film there. You'll see. It's like, whoa, you're really holding on to this one little thing that really makes no difference.
Yeah, but there's a lot of those little things, and you just feel stupid breaking up with someone for this thing and that thing. That's why, for me, it needed to be right in my face, the biggest, most horrendous thing, very, very clear. Otherwise, I would have just kept going. It had to be, I saw you on Craigslist, I see the posts, I see interactions. It had to be like such a big offense for me to be like, okay, this is worth breaking up over. Right. And it still took me a while.
So you're saying, when you say Demi, that we had a three-way, fact. And then you find out I'm with Danny Masterson from the 70s show and some random 19-year-old. That's three people, but that's different. I know why. Don't say it. I know why. Mm-hmm. That's different because it wasn't with you, my wife, who I love. Hold on. That I share all things with. The other one wasn't you. And I'm gonna throw in a complete lie.
Yes. Throw in a complete lie. To those who want to do this, that's a good one. Because it adds extra, how do I even investigate this? And you are being honest. So it's like, well, they're coming clean, right? But it's like, no, you didn't come clean. I caught you.
Okay. So here's what you're saying. With you and me, when we have three ways, we're doing something adventurous. It's you and me. And the other one, just a regular old school cheating shitbird, I suppose.
How about using, you know, the, like, let's say Andrea and I are talking, and I could text her, like, you look totally hot in that outfit. Right? Like, I don't think that would be crazy or weird, you know, whatever. And it's like, oh, girl on girl. Well, my husband, people identified him as female. So this could be where the mistake happens, is that
would he let you say all this shit out loud? And then he'd go, there you go.
No, I didn't say this
right,
shit.
Right.
I didn't say it. And what's weird is you're fighting logic, like the things that you're saying, like, but this is ridiculous. But you're fighting with, it's like you're trying to get a confession from someone and you're the cops. It's like you can't differentiate anymore where they're lying, and you're talking to the person who lied and cheated.
Right. So, I'm in the military and we make a deal with each other. They pay me. I go to war and shoot people. Now I'm home and I killed the gas station attendant. So you're saying, hold on, let me tell you where that I went wrong there. Okay. It wasn't sanctioned. I wasn't ordered to do that. I'm going to guess is the difference. Now I know. Don't even put me to jail. I am punishing myself. Believe that.
I hate this whole conversation.
Yes.
Do you know that I was genuinely in that loop?
If I'm out,
it feels so stupid now.
If you catch me texting something in the middle of the night outside, that's because I couldn't sleep good because I was still punishing myself from the day before.
Ugh, you would make a good liar.
Thank you. Moore said she only wanted to please Kutcher by engaging in three-way sex, but she realizes now it was a mistake. I wanted to show him how great and fun I could be.
Oh, you're a wonderful person.
She wrote in 2010, she saw media reports claiming Kutcher, 41, met a 21-year-old woman while bowling with her daughter, Rumor Willis, and cheated on her in his marital home while Moore was out of town filming a movie. When she confronted him, he brought up their threesome as a defense.
Ugh. And this, you know, it's really interesting that they added in their marital home.
Yeah.
It does add something.
Right.
It's like, you can't even, did you even change the sheets?
Because we had brought a third party in. Right. And they have maids. You could ask the maid, like, there's no excuse to be lazy.
That's right. That's right. But you're fucking the maid too. So she doesn't want to change those sheets.
Because we had brought a third party into our relationship, Ashton said that blurred the lines and to some extent justified what he'd done. She writes, he was deflecting blame. Moore also accused of that 70s star actor to whom she was married from 2005 to 2013 of cheating on her before their separation in 2011 while at his former co-star Danny Masterson's bachelor party. He, of course, has at least 4 rape charges against him. Danny. She learned about the alleged cheating from a Google alert. Moore, 56, detailed suffering a miscarriage 6 months into her pregnancy in the early 2000s. So they're using IVF to try to have a baby, Ashton and Demi.
Oh, no. Why?
But listen. Well,
sorry.
Well, she's already feeling old as it is.
She has a million
compared
kids.
Compared to Ashton. And then Ashton is going even younger, so you feel even older. Then you find out you can't have a baby. Then somewhere in there, you realize he's been cheating on you with a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, you can't help it. You feel old.
Roberta the Sun is... Oh, Roberta's writing on our YouTube. She's listening line. Been there, done that. Was snowballed for 2 years by my ex. Much love and peace to all of you, and so excited to see you in your new space. All right. I actually really like that you just went through all those excuses because it's so, I know that you're like,
I'm being ridiculous, yeah, right?
How is anybody, but this is exactly how it happens.
All right.
Mm-hmm. There's too much empathy. There's too much like, I think you're telling the truth because you're on my side.
Okay.
Like, so, you married this person, they're on your side.
Okay. So I saw a disclosure and you're telling me, Demi, my love, that you could seduce Michael Douglas and then threaten his job because he started going down on you. Okay. It hit me. I see the difference. Yours was a movie and completely fake and no sex was real. Mm-hmm. And mine was cheating and not telling you and lying where I was. Got it. Mm-hmm. Yours was movie fake. And I should know that because I've done one or two. And mine was real life real. And I'm going to even throw this word on there. Nefarious. I'm going to go hang out with my friend Danny Masterson. We have a lot of talking to do as men. Oh, boy. Okay, so you're telling me you were on the cover of Playboy.
I hate you because this the whole, like, I need to go talk to some men thing happened too.
Yeah.
It's like I need more positive male role models in my life, you know, like, because the atmosphere is very, like, toxic masculinity. I have to make efforts to be around non-toxic masculines.
Okay, so you once told me you wish you had that role, the main role in Eyes Wide Shut. And I fucked a teenager. So, oh, no, I see the difference. Yeah. I see the difference. Mine was like, lies. Yours was a form of art. Okay, I see. Okay.
So me telling guys in the studio to take their dick out is a form of art.
In Eyes Wide Shut, she sits on the toilet and is talking to Tom Cruise while urinating. So that's not, you're saying it's not even relatable to me going down on 4 strippers and saying I wasn't at the club.
Ugh.
Noted, this guy, red-faced Kusher. Call me Tomato Face, because I am embarrassed. Can we not mention this to anybody and not reporters? I am humiliated. I'm humiliated. You probably think it's fun. I'm humiliated.
Oh, fucking hell. If this sounds like your relationship, you're in a bad one.
No matter which side you're on.
Right.
You're in a bad one. Let's be clear. The other day, of course, we were talking about the movie Hustlers. Getting good reviews.
Okay.
I don't get it. I think it's a joke. Cause
Thank you. But Oh my God.
Everybody that's saying how good the movie is, I think they're like sticking it, like almost like they're sticking it to the man. Like, I saw on our forums. I don't think the guy was joking. He goes, it's this generation's godfather. And you would assume anybody would be joking by saying something so stupid, but anything else they rate about it is with all sincerity as well. I don't know. This is, don't vote. Who cares? Live in a commune, recycle your own shit. You want the world a better place for your kids? Plant some trees. You're honestly telling me this is a good movie? Oh, hi, Mark. Is that a good movie? Because it is a good movie. So you're telling me that if I find something stupid and ridiculous, it's different than The Godfather, universally the greatest movie of all time. Is this what you're telling me? Like, if I enjoyed Freddy Got Fingered, then I shouldn't compare it to Casablanca. Is this what you're... I think I got it. Red-faced.
I recently saw that movie. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, it's good, right?
I saw the...
The Disaster Artist, the remake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stripper wannabes, inspired by Jennifer Lopez's new hit flick, Hustlers, are flocking to Queens to take up careers in Taking It Off. Since the movie's September 12th release, applications at Show Palace in Long Island City, it's featured in the film, have more than doubled.
That's like watching The Godfather and going like, one mob job, please.
Right.
It seems all right.
But actually, it's different than that. It's
glorifying this weird...
The crimes of drugging men and stealing their money at tens of thousands of dollars at a time. It's more like if you go to a casino, and they say, hey, I saw the movie Hustlers. I'm excited. I want to be a stripper. Instead of like Godfather and doing what they do, Godfathering, it'd be like going to a casino and going, I'm excited to be here. I saw Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited to be, really, because you're not allowed to do those scams that got you excited here. Is that okay?
But also, I think it glorified what stripping actually is. They're like, some nights it was terrible.
Right.
And the guy crumpled up money and threw it at them. I'm like, some nights they took their dick out and tried to force your head on it.
The worst they even have it, right, yeah. Was money was thrown at their head once. They get to keep it.
Right.
And instead of getting $300 for a hand job, they say this
for
guy.
For a blowjob.
No, a hand job. It's,
please, she was on her knees.
She said, go ahead. She said she heard that they give blowjobs for $300. Mm-hmm. And she was debating, will she at least jerk the guy off for 100? And he goes, come on, 3. And so he went to 3. And it was just a jerk off, not a dick sucking. And then goes, and then I saw it was only 320s. First of all, there's no way he got his pants up, was out the door, past the bouncer.
Right.
And you didn't notice the money until you were home.
Right.
Fuck off. Never mind. You know, I compared it to the Basketball Diaries where Leonardo DiCaprio is playing this. It's a true story. Except for the part where he plays this high school kid or college kid that is so addicted to heroin, he has to suck dick for money. But in the movie, Leonardo lets his dick get sucked, so Leonardo gets money. And it's like, okay, I'm so sure. Like, they couldn't even tell the truth about these girls having hardships. They never had it hard. They go in this movie, Hustlers, from broke to millionaires to broke to millionaires.
And also, they get off, and they're still millionaires.
Yeah, when...
Like, part of your deal, isn't it, to give back the money?
Yeah, you remember when the main character, Constance Wu, when she was talking to that reporter?
Which one was that one? Just kidding.
Who was the reporter? No. Oh, who was Constance Wu?
Yeah.
So her house was all fancy.
Yeah.
Was all nice.
I was waiting for them to be like, and then she married rich or something like that.
Right.
But no, she just got to keep her wealth.
Yeah. And did they say to whoever the true story was about, were like, yeah, but don't make me look stupid.
I don't know. I think that the article sounds like it's terrible because the movie was just based on the article, right. Not the actual story.
Right.
Oh my God. So yeah, like a whole movie on an article. Who gets the rights to that?
This is the manager of Show Palace. We always get like 4 or 5 a day, but it's probably about 10 a day since Hustlers, marveled the owner. The girls that came in this week were like, I just saw Hustler. I want to have my J-Lo moment.
Ugh. You are dumb.
Does Usher come here?
Right.
Even club waitresses are suddenly eager to bear it. He has a cameo in the film, so this guy's part of the movie.
I honestly say hire them all, see what happens. Yeah. Videotape everything.
Hustlers is also changing the joint's male-female ratio. More women are starting to come to the club, said a dancer. Dancers love the movie because it, quote, sheds a positive light on their profession. What movie did you see?
Yeah, what
positive? They all hate men and they want out of it.
Yeah. They convince themselves that it's okay to drug and steal giant amounts of money from people because, you know, the system.
Right. That's really what they say.
Yeah. You know, they've been stealing from who, J-Lo?
Right.
Where are you getting your fucking source from? And also, they originally, this was targeted against like finance guys who gave everybody a bad deal, who didn't care what they were doing all day. But then they were just going by someone's shoes at a bar.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he has fancy shoes. He has money. We're targeting him. That's just robbing from anybody. So where's your moral compass then?
The whistleblower was a doctor. Not the worst of Wall Street.
And also, he wasn't at your club. You
drugged him and took him to the club.
Yeah, you drug him before he went to the club. So before he can say, yeah, let's go to the club, you took this possibly nice person who was at a bar, who wasn't going to touch you, who was maybe going to talk to you and flirt with you because that's what you're putting out there.
Right.
And you fucking stole his money. And then you were going to, they showed that they usually shame the guys into being quiet, which is the best defense they have. Right. You know, it's like, oh, you think $50,000 out of your bank account is going to be bad news. How about when it's in the paper and your wife finds out about all this?
Okay, honey, you went out. We went to the.
Meanwhile, I drugged you and this happened. Right. So basically you're shaming me out of, you know, calling the cops on a robbery.
Okay, so we were at the flea market the other day, and you wanted to get earrings, and they said the earrings are $5, two for $8, but you just wanted one pair of earrings. Then we came back later, and you wanted a second pair of earrings, but they explained you can't have that deal. It's $5 again. We still got both. So you're telling me you can do that, but I can't spend $50,000 in a store. I see the difference. Stop. I see the difference now. I see. I'm with my buddies. I'm not telling you about it.
Oh, my God.
I'm getting blown. I see the difference. Speaking of bad shit, J-Fod.
I have used the defense like, okay, well, if you saw me saying these words to some dude text.
What are you doing?
You would know. I know. What am I doing? You're arguing with the person who's lying to you.
Right.
Because you're also trying to keep like the sacred whatever the fuck of your relationship. And let me tell you something, little hint from me. If you're not telling at least one person about the most fucked up part of your relationship, you're trying not to break up, you know? And even because there is privacy, right? Aren't there things that you don't want to talk about between you and Kyle? Because it's really private.
Sure.
So you're doing a lot of like very emotional, very high level, like secret shit with your bodies, with your brain, you know? And so, but you should be able to tell someone about everything.
Yeah.
Not like one person everything, but every parts of your system should be said out loud.
Yeah. Okay, so you're telling me you do have secrets, but a lot to learn. I was going to say, everybody loved John F. O'Donnell on the show the other day. And
big response.
And how many people can relate to it is way too many. But yeah, that's fantastic. Somebody wrote, oh, I figured out Sue Costello's unprecedented deal. Here's the details. Emojis of grapes and cherries. That's fun. Who knows? Goofy Grapes is going to make it. Then, because people did compare J-Fod and Sue Costello, Sue DMs me on Twitter.
Oh.
And she says, you know, I'm going to have you on Simma Down.
That's her podcast.
Okay. So I go, great. I don't know what it is. I go, you know how invites work? And then in parentheses, woot. And then she said, waiting to see when we get rolling.
Oh, it's not out yet.
Okay. You're asking a lot of questions, Henda.
Sorry.
I go, congrats, by the way, sounds exciting. You know, you're saying something, you're excited, it sounds exciting. I can pass a test. Take me to court. You seemed excited. You're going to have me on something. It's going to get rolling. So, it sounds exciting. The words I hear are that of an excited person. As she says, thank you, it is. I'm like, I just said that, bitch.
He did not write
that. No, I did not write that. Okay. Thank you, it is. And my op-ed is still dropping. I got work on it this week. Ha ha, she says. And I said, well, I'll need that ASAP. this op-ed. And she goes, I know, I'm on it. So we're still in the works. All of you not writing me constantly, where's this op-ed? Let me tell you, it's in the works. It's in the works.
I want J-Fot.
All will be revealed.
I want J-Fot to hear that episode and get his take on it.
Yeah, it goes like this. Huh? I'm sure he'll be able to, you know, it's not like a secret language crazy speak.
Oh, boy.
You know?
Okay.
All right. I'm looking at the top movies of the weekend. Downton Abbey is number one.
What?
There's a TV show, Downton Abbey.
Saw it.
You have seen it?
I've seen a bunch of episodes. Got into it for like...
Did you like it?
A season or two.
What do you like best? When they fold the giant sheets or when they polish the giant silverware?
You know what? I liked a really weird part of it. I liked the way they expressed themselves in this like... I don't know. I liked the way they talked. But then after a while, I'm like, oh, they're just a rich family that gets away with everything and who cares?
Is everything sarcastic and droll? It sounds like it's Game of Thrones without murder.
Oh, I never saw Game of Thrones. Well, it's very dialogue heavy, and right. You would never like it.
Well, there's a movie now, and it's number one, which surprised me. But I saw the trailer, and honest to God, they're just polishing shit for 2 minutes. Get ready, the Queen's coming to Downton Abbey. I guess that's going to be a huge deal, of course.
Well, it was huge as a series, like really huge.
Right.
So it's not really surprising that it jumped up there, right? What else? What is it up against?
New movie, Brad Pitt, Ad Astra.
What's that?
It's, exactly. You know what? I left the movie theater and I go, what was that?
But it's Brad Pitt.
It's Brad Pitt. He's in a...
He usually picks good stuff, right?
His...
Okay.
He was in that good car commercial, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He drove that bad boy for fucking days. Holy shit. Like I get caught up. You ever get caught up in a movie and you're like, I really think he's driving somewhere. So he's good. But anyway, this one, it's the same thing, except he flies in a rocket the whole time instead of driving a car. Guy is a good driver. Granted, but I need like a story, I think.
You saw it?
Yeah, he goes to his dad is Tommy Lee Jones out in Neptune. You can go to different planets nowadays. And he's trying to interact with aliens, but whatever he's doing is causing major havoc across the universe, including Earth. So Brad Pitt has to go find his dad and fix this problem.
Oh, wait. Isn't his dad dead or something? I saw an ad for something. It could have been for Tom Cruise.
Oh, no spoilers, but he's not dead. So my problem is I lose track of time, and I'm always, well, something can happen soon. Something can happen. And then finally the end. I'm like, nothing happened.
Whoa.
Just nothing happened. You know, I don't want to make people nervous. First of all, I will come clean. I thought it was about Ed Asner. And I'm like, this guy is 89 years old. He's been married to Tyler Moore. But it has nothing to do with that. It's a Latin phrase, ad astra, which means to the stars. So that has nothing to do with anything. They didn't even have what do we call it? Like, what is it? You didn't even make nothing.
What's better, that or Hustlers? Is it Hustler or Hustlers?
Hustlers. There's multiple.
Thank you, Keith.
I guess Hustlers had more ass, but I also have porn. Ad Astra had potential, but Hustlers had tits.
Okay. We know. We can stop.
It's tough.
What's the third movie?
They both blew balls. Oh, me.
You know, when we don't have a guest, you're in full force.
Remember the days when Brad Pitt punched himself in the face? That was acting. I was just driving cars. Computer, check. Is my pulse calm enough to be up in space? Yes, you are calm enough. Well, my pulse is calm too. Nothing's happening.
What other movie?
Rambo, Last Blood.
Oh, everyone's watching that. How's that not number one?
29% by critics, 85% by goddamn liars.
Well, goddamn Americans, if you ask me.
Oh, this...
Right? This is America.
So, Rambo's... First of all, what a dumb title. First Blood is like they drew First Blood. You didn't start it. Okay. Last Blood. I drew Last Blood. Yes, you drew Last Blood. Take a speech class. Last Blood. No more blood. Rambo. Last Blood. It's the last one. No, I followed. So his niece gets taken by sex traffickers in Mexico. So
a lot of shit happens to him in other countries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He loves, he's like, I'm going to stay here in America. Oops, I got a good deal by the border. So his niece that he's watching over, they don't really explain that story. Mm. He has one. So, and I bother. I go on, I told you about Madonna. I go online and I get the update on these old movies. I mean, the first Rambo was 37 years ago. So I'll get a refresher course. I don't remember this fucking niece showing up.
Let me guess what the niece is like.
Yeah.
She's a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
She's super hot.
She is.
The adults in her life think she's like new and innocent.
Yes.
In a way she is, but she's got a little devious. Maybe I might want to follow this dude. Yeah. Excitement. I'm taken.
Well, she's trying. It is. And it reminds me of Taken, the movie. She goes to Mexico to try to find a real father. She got some kind of hint from a friend.
Does she just walk around going, Papa?
Well, the friend isn't really nice and sold her out to sex traffickers. So she gets kidnapped. She gets kidnapped. And that's the end of the friend story. So now she's kidnapped.
What?
And Rambo finds out. So he goes down to Mexico. He's like, I'm going to go get her. Okay?
I know exactly where she is.
Finds out where the traffickers are.
Because everyone does.
Blah, blah, blah. And then the traffickers go, there's 60 of us. We're going to beat the shit out of you instead of giving you your daughter because she's fun to fuck. And so they...
By the way, in all of these, the actual daughter that's getting looked for never gets touched.
Well, this one did, actually. They show her get heroined up and everything. So they beat him up and they go, now that you showed me a picture of your niece, we're going to fuck her extra. You fucked up, Rambo. And just keeps beating him in the face. I mean, swollen. Immediately, everything's swollen.
Yeah.
Everything's swollen as soon as he gets beat up.
Did you get PTSD because of your fucking face?
Well, here's the thing. So then he's at, like, there happens to be a reporter there trying to report on, a woman, trying to report on this sex ring. So she happens to be there that she's able to save, at least, you know, carry Rambo away when everybody decides to walk away.
So the reporter knows where this is happening.
Yeah, but what's she going to do about it?
What's anyone going to do about
it? Well, she works in words, and those are mightier. So then she grabs Rambo, throws him in the truck. He stays at her house, still in Mexico.
Have you ever tried dragging Rambo? Right. Have
you ever tried that? But the size of his head, you can bowl with it. It's not for children.
And she's probably a bigger woman.
No.
No?
No.
Well, a reporter.
So he gets up. He goes, I'm on the couch. How long have I been here? And she's like, 4 days. 4 days? Well, 4 days. So you didn't eat, drink, or shit.
And your daughter's dead. Your niece is dead.
Nothing came to you. Like, where am I? You were so groggy. Then you suddenly get up. You came to. Your bruises are gone.
Shut up.
Now
you're still fucked up. How long's it been?
3 weeks. I slip in the shower. I still got a head full of damage. Now, I understand that Rambo has a strong constitution, but he doesn't bruise different than we do.
He's also 70.
Yeah.
It takes a while.
73, I think. And so then, you know, he heals up and then he goes back and gets his daughter.
Niece. Maybe his daughter's there too.
It's the way I'm taking it, like it's his daughter.
Yeah.
Like you're probably like his niece. Who cares? Take it like it's his daughter. Mm. So then he grabs her.
By the way, does he? A lot of these movies where like a woman gets taken, they go past. excuse me. They go past a whole bunch of other abused women. Like you see them like about to suck a dick that's just disgusting. You see them in like terrible right. conditions. They're like, just this one. Right. Let's go.
Well, no, actually. He goes in there with a hammer. He finds out where they're fucking these girls. And he goes to the door. He's like, I'm looking for a little girl. The younger, the better. I like that fucking suck. Mm. And then they let him in. They're like, all right.
Of course. Well, his face is healed up. Nothing to worry about. Yeah,
we all forgot you. Because we were all kicking you. And you can't really take it in when you all kick and punch at the same time. They don't even want to talk about that situation because it was embarrassing. They were punching each other. Everybody's hurting each other's ankles. So anyway, he goes, I want to fuck kids. And they go, okay, right this way. And he has his hammer and he just starts beating everybody in the fuck. It's very violent. He starts hitting everybody in the head.
That was your favorite scene.
Yeah. And then it was my favorite scene because then he starts kicking open doors and, you know, each room, you know, somebody's fucking a heroin addicted, you know, sex trafficked minor. And so it's fine, you think, hitting each of these guys on the heads too and killing them. But I can't help but think, like, hey, Rambo, maybe one of these dads is on a fake mission and he's undercover, you piece of shit. Fuck you! Fuck you! Oh, no chance. You're the only hero on earth. Sylvester Stallone alone is 10 different heroes, but somehow you, Rambo, are the only one on this mission. Okay. So he breaks all these guys' heads, and then he'll say during his travels to the different women, like, get out of here. And they're like, no, I can't. Like, they're too scared to leave.
Where are they going?
They're just scared.
Where are they going?
Right.
You think they have their passport?
Well, the kid gets it. So it's like a dad or uncle. And then Rambo, you know, picks up the kid, drives him home. Okay? I'm not going to tell you what happens there.
He just takes one of the kids because, you know, it's a small car.
His kid. Well, they didn't want to go. They're too nervous. They're like, no, all I know is heroin and I'll be hurt more.
Yeah. Right. And he goes, all right.
He goes, okay. Well, I can't carry all. One woman was able to carry me, but I can't carry more than one kid. So he carries the kid. They go back home.
Does he at least tell the police exactly where they are now that there's a bunch of dead bodies?
First of all, if you remember in First Blood, he doesn't have a good history with cops. He came to this town from Vietnam just trying to get by, and they were spitting on him, calling him a baby killer, and the cops wanted to arrest him, and he says, I don't want to be arrested too much, and the cops go, all right, now we're going to try to kill you. So it was him and America fighting against cops in the first one. So my point is, don't involve the cops. He doesn't like them. He knows they're trouble, okay, whether it's his hang-up or not. Mm. So
in all this, like, when after he woke up from his four-day whatever the fuck,
yeah,
he didn't call a buddy, maybe you want to come in with me this time and help?
He's a loner.
Yeah, he could just take on no matter what is about to come, which he has no idea.
Right. No, he's like, you're thinking Expendables. That's a different guy. This guy has no friends, no need for him, and it's safer that way. He learned his lesson. He got close to the knees. I didn't say nothing. So then he comes home, but whenever the sex traffickers, whenever they first beat him up, they took his driver's license, so they know where he lives.
So it's in not America, the last blood?
That wasn't the last blood.
Mm.
But we're going to get to the last blood. Okay. And so then he's home and he knows they're going to come and find him. So he builds all these traps. Rambo's famous for building traps.
So he home aloned it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. A lot of rakes falling on people. And then he's in the country. And then the guys come over and there's explosion, rakes, and just one at a time they all die. And like all movies that don't make sense, somehow he knows who the ringleader is.
Mm. And they're last.
And they're last. Yeah, sure. And somehow he knows that he killed everybody except for that one guy. And then he can fuck extra with that one guy. And then all of a sudden it was over. He sits back on the porch and is like, oh, motherfucker, what a day. The end, last blood. So it went very, very fast. But I was like, that's a lame way to go out.
But you loved it because there was so much violence.
I liked it out of Hustlers and Ed Asner. I liked that one the most, but it was pretty dumb.
It was like, oh, here's the next scene, but really we could have just hammered someone in the face for the next scene without giving you a story.
There's no reason why this would be the last blood. It was just another adventure that he had and the niece got stolen.
You don't think the next one would be like super last blood?
More blood.
P.S. Blood again.
No. And by the way, as he's chasing somebody, he plays a Doors song. No One Here Gets Out Alive, the one with that line. Rambo doesn't look like a Doors fan. Maybe a little Credence, okay? But I never thought he'd be into This Is the End, you know. Oh, well.
What other movies are there?
Let's see. Number four, It, Chapter 2.
What the hell is that?
That's the... That's the clown, the demon clown.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's the one where I was saying this clown could be killing these kids that he knows are trouble, but instead he'd rather scare them because that's more fun.
Yeah, I feel like the bad clown thing is blech.
That's what I think. And number five, Hustlers.
Oh, it went down so fast.
Second week.
That doesn't
went
that,
from one to t- went from one or two to five.
Isn't that telling? Because usually when movies are actually good, they stay number one for weeks, right? Am I making that up?
No, you're right.
I feel like whoever wanted, you know, the popcorn experience like I did, went to see it and now we're done.
Yeah. Yeah, not a lot of repeats for being The Godfather. Not a lot of people seeing it twice that it was so good.
Not even like twice, not a lot of people spreading the word so like someone else from their friend circle sees it the next week. Like, you have to see this. That's how things stay number one.
Because people like me pick on them. They're like, I tried. I said it was like The Godfather.
Ugh. Come on. Idiocracy is coming faster and faster.
You can't trust people on the reviews. Because even if they're being silly, they stick with it. And then you got to navigate that. Like, life's not hard enough with broken toes and stuff.
I got to worry. How is your toe?
It's not pretty.
Is it done? Or?
No, it's not. It used to dangle, and then I taped it. Now it's not dangling. So I think it's getting there.
Are you still taping?
No.
No?
No. I make up my own rules. I'm okay. Okay, Neosporin goes on my nose. Okay, it's been long enough. Now it has to breathe. Now it can't breathe. You know, all of a sudden. Right. Okay, well, now my toe has to learn to be on its own. Okay, it's ready for tape again to be reminded. Yeah.
And I love how I can be sure that you did not Google it. You're like, feelings.
Right. Yeah. No,
that's where your feelings are.
You have to listen to your body. That's what people say. You know yourself better than anyone else.
The thing is, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right now we're on not tape, but, you know, I'll see what my body tells me in a
bit. Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, a little green juice.
I still went to the gym.
What?
With a broken toe. I went to the gym.
What did you do?
Not much. Okay. That's what's good.
Well, your girlfriend, Kyle, is the trainer.
Yes.
So you can get an out with the toe thing because there's upper body shit.
There's upper body shit. And I'm like, can't do push-ups. And she's like, you could on your knees. And I'm like, I do have those.
Fuck, you did push-ups on your knees?
She finds something.
Oh, she's not fucking around.
She's not fucking around.
Are you in pain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But isn't that life?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. When I suffer, I can now relate to other people's suffering.
Okay. Do you have to eat different?
Anytime I suffer, sure. I go, thank you, universe.
Yes, you're suffering by having a trainer for a girlfriend and having free lessons. Okay, cool. Yeah, you're 45 years old. You think working out is optional? Not because you're 45.
First of all, she already told me that I'm perfect as is. We're just doing some fine tuning.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, so it's not even a big deal. I'm surprised that we scheduled it twice weekly because it's just fine tuning, but I assume that'll end anytime soon.
How'd she get you to 2 days all of a sudden?
Yeah, it's sex. Apparently, if I can have sex twice in 1 day, I can go to the gym twice in 1 week. All right.
Well, does that include jerk offs?
It includes everything. Who knows? I don't know. Your poker math was easier to understand.
I really thought I was doing the math right.
You did right.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's a big deal. It's the first tournament that I entered at all.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. People were warning people about me.
Look at that. They're like this bitch. Yeah. I'm being warned about. All right. Tomorrow we'll talk about Madonna. I was there. I did show up.
You're so brave.
Well, you'll hear all about it. And that's it. Don't forget keithandthegirl.com/VIP. The coupon code you want to use is DAD, D-A-D. It'll let you try it for free if you haven't. And that expires the end of this month.
Also, if you're on social media, you should totally follow us because we do like behind the scenes studio stuff and mic checks on our Instagram stories. So if you're not following us already, I don't know what. Keithandthegirl.com.